what you would say if I asked you what your three most valuable possessions were. Perhaps our thoughts would go immediately to maybe our homes, our cars, maybe our phones, a memory book, an item handed down through generations of our families, maybe a collection of photos, or perhaps something a bit flashy and special like our watch or a belt. I wonder if your answer would change if I said, what new things might we count as some of our most valuable things that perhaps we had taken for granted beforehand? A hug with someone outside of our house groups, a night with friends or family, a chance to gather together as a church family once more. Now, I wonder if your answer would change again if I changed the question and said, which of these valuable things would you be willing to lay your life down for? A family member, your relationship with Jesus, your principles, your faith. Now, today's readings take us deeper into the next part of the life of the early church, where for the first time we see a believer, Stephen, laying down his life for his faith, his belief in Jesus Christ. Now, today in the UK, we do not know this kind of persecution for our faith, but our brothers and sisters in countries all around the world do. Imprisonment, torture, even death for believing Jesus is Lord. Some of them today meeting in secret, but doing so because they believe Jesus is worth it. Would you still count yourself a Christian if your faith could cost you your life? Would you value gathering with Christians even if it cost you in very real ways today? What would our lives look like? What would our churches be like if our faith and confidence in Jesus was the bedrock of our lives and not worldly possessions, influence, money, reputation, or the latest pressures from work or earthly things? You see, charities that work with Christians living under persecution reveal that where the church suffers is also where the church grows. See, believers willing to lay down their lives for a cause promote something that might be worth following, someone worth knowing. Can we say the same of how we witness to others today, both as individuals and as a church? Let's jump into scripture this morning and see what God might want to stir in our hearts today. Now, we pick up the story back in Acts. If you remember, for the last few weeks, we've been focusing on Acts 2, on Peter's initial preach on Pentecost and the huge response it provoked. And then in the next couple of chapters from where we left the story last, Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, have announced Jesus' healing on a lame beggar outside the temple. They then had to account for their actions in front of Pharisees, Sadducees, and rulers of the temple, and they spent some time in jail. Now, this becomes a bit of a pattern in the early time of Acts. People preach because they can't stop talking about Jesus. Sometimes miracles happen, the crowd gets upset, the rulers get involved, some of the believers spend some time in jail. But it doesn't put the disciples off sharing about this Jesus and the difference he is making. But now in Acts 6 and 7, the story takes a more sinister turn. The persecution and opposition against the early church and Christians increases. Now, one of the new leaders of the early church, Stephen, is seized, because members of the temple begin to spread lies about him. They bring claims that he has been saying blasphemous things, and the crowd are stirred up in anger. Stephen has been brought before the high priest, and just before our reading picked up, he has been making a speech where he's been asked to give an account for his views and the accusations against him. Now, I would recommend going back and reading Stephen's speech. It is a brilliant historical account of the Jewish faith. He speaks of Abraham and God's promises to him, how the story of God's people then extends into Jacob and Joseph, and then Moses, who leads the people out of slavery and then into the wilderness where God's presence has been known amongst his people. It talks of the tent they built, the tabernacle, so that they would know God's glory dwelling with the people of God wherever they were. The tabernacle, Stephen says, then replaced by the temple built by Solomon. It's a pretty good summary of a huge chunk of the Old Testament. And until this point, the crowd are probably with Stephen. They agree with what he has said so far, but Stephen's speech takes a turn. For he points to a but in the tale. He says, God is not confined to buildings built by human hands. Heaven is his throne and all of the earth his footstool. The Holy Spirit has come and the people did not listen either to the prophets, and they did not recognize Jesus for who he was. Now Stephen is bold. He says to the crowd, you killed the prophets, you betrayed and murdered the righteous one. Church leaders, temple leaders, you clung to the law, but you didn't follow it. See, Stephen strikes at the hearts of those who stand accusing him. He speaks powerful words. He announces that Jesus was and is the promised one. And he criticizes a faith that is all about temples and the authority of high priests who speak of a religious law which they do not keep themselves. Stephen strikes at a leadership that is stubborn and pious without depth, who closed their ears to the prophets and closed their hearts to Jesus. Jesus who had walked among them. A people so close to the truth, but unable to grasp it for what it was. People face to face with Jesus, yet blind to the truth that was in front of them. Now, perhaps unsurprisingly, the crowd are furious. Scripture says they ground their teeth at Stephen. They're raging. They're maddened by the truth that Stephen boldly exclaims. Megan read for us the reaction. The crowd rush at Stephen, drag him out of the city and kill him. And what does Stephen do in his final moments? Well, Scripture said he looks up to heaven, full of the Holy Spirit. He sees the glory of God. He sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for him. And what are Stephen's final words? Well, it's a prayer of forgiveness for those who stone him. Father, do not hold this sin against them. And with that, Stephen dies. The first martyr for the Christian faith, the first follower of Jesus to give his life for the defense of Jesus and his beliefs. Beginning a long list of believers since then until today, where some of our brothers and sisters will too around this world lay down their lives rather than renounce their faith. What was Stephen's confidence in? What was he willing to give up for Jesus? What might there be to inspire us and challenge us today in this reading, and also in the words we heard in John's Gospel? What is our confidence and our hope in this morning? In times of challenge, of fear of threat, of anxiety, of persecution, of uncertainty about what the future may hold, what do we put our trust in today? Stephen, in the moments before his death, spoke out with a confidence in what he believed, but he also looked up. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he saw the glory of God and he saw Jesus interceding for him at the Father's side. This morning, in times of trial, in our times of separation from one another, in the uncertainty that we face, in our questions of what is to come, We are people who must look up. Behold, the God of heaven is present and among us. We don't worship a God who is removed and disinterested in the situations we face. His eye is upon you. He knows your situation. Jesus stands at the Father's side interceding for you, praying for you. In times of trial, in times of uncertainty, even in times of persecution, it's so easy, isn't it, to look down, to become more and more aware of the challenge, to look down and grow in a sense of hopelessness, to be more and more fixated on the darkness and the trial. But we are called to be people who look up and see that God is still on the throne. He is still mighty to save. He still holds you in his hands. He's for you, he sees you, and he's with you in the midst of the challenge. See, Stephen was seeing the words of Jesus in John 14 coming to pass. Words which, if you have felt like me this week, you probably need to be reminded of today. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. In my Father's house there are many rooms." I wonder who fancies isolating there today. But the reality is, we already are. We rest in the Father's hands. God is present in our homes. He's known to us wherever we find ourselves today. There's nowhere we go where God is not present with us. As Stephen said towards the end of his speech, God is not confined to buildings made by human hands. He lives in each of us. He's with us at all times and all places. How can we know our Heavenly Father and what he is like today? Well, it's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Jesus begins a conversation with one of the disciples, Philip, which concludes with Jesus encouraging all of the disciples, his followers, to be bold in what they ask for. What this morning do you need to ask your Heavenly Father for today? Is it more of his peace? Is it courage in the face of a trial? Is it his hope? Is it his healing? Is it for more of his patience to endure? Is it for a confidence top up in your faith in Jesus Christ? What are you bold enough to ask for this morning? Do you believe that God hears you when you pray and he's able to respond to your needs this morning? What is your confidence in today? The way of the world, the fear and the anxiety which is gripping our nations, or instead is your confidence in the one who holds the world in his hands? Do not let your hearts be troubled, but believe, Jesus encouraged the disciples. How we need to hear that message again this morning. In times of trial and sickness, believe. In times of opposition and persecution, believe. In times that feel dark and hopeless, believe God is with us and for us in our midst. Secondly, I wonder who you identify with in these passages. Stephen, are you ready to lay your life down for your faith? Are you bold in your defence of Jesus and your faith in the midst of a crowd, perhaps with an aggressive accuser, the ones who mock you in work, perhaps to the loved ones with questions? Or are you a secret Christian? Maybe you're more at this moment like Thomas or Philip in the gospel reading. See, you've got loads of questions and you need more clarity from Jesus about what it means to follow him and what he is really like. My encouragement for you this morning is keep asking those questions. Keep wrestling, but do come to know the one who changes everything. Maybe though you're like the apostle Paul in this reading. Did you see him briefly mentioned in Acts? What's Paul doing? Well, he's named Saul and he's holding the coats of the people murdering Stephen, giving his approval to the execution and the future destruction of God's believers. See, here's proof once more that your past doesn't have to define your future with God. No one is too bad. No one has gone too far in the opposite direction for God to still turn their life around and speak fresh purpose and identity into it. Saul, the approver of Stephen's death, becomes Paul, the great servant and apostle of the Lord. Thomas and Philip too, with their questions, their confusion, their need for further clarity, with their doubts, go on to be filled with the power of the Spirit and go out to spread the gospel all over their known world. Friends, questions, confusion, pasts are no barrier to the plans God has for your life. When you come to him, there's new mercy, there's forgiveness, there's purpose. What are you waiting on today? We might feel more like Philip or Thomas or Saul today, but how can we be more like Stephen? How can we become bold defenders of our faith? How can we become ready to lay down our lives for the one who laid down his life for us? Friends, how can we share of the good news that has brought our freedom? Do you believe today it's good news? Or is your faith more of a Sunday inconvenience that fits in when you've got time or need something from God, in the same way you might pop out to Tesco or Iceland's when you're hungry? Do you come to church for a quick top-up, a wee blessing, and then God and your faith takes a back seat until you next have time for a spiritual fix? Or is it the foundation stone of your life? Do we all need a life realignment today? Do we need to come afresh to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do we need a fresh revelation of his grace, a fresh wave of gratitude, another encounter with him that we may believe afresh the good news that changes everything, the good news worth giving up everything for? What are you willing to lay down for the one who gives everything for us today? But lastly, let me end here. Let's note what happens in the aftermath of Stephen's death. Opposition and persecution increases. The early church are scattered, but the church is not defeated. No, instead it grows. In the next chapter of Acts, we again see Philip from John's Gospel reading. Philip, now emboldened in his faith. Philip, who had been asking questions, now taking the gospel out to different cities. Men and women like Philip find their voices and share the good news of Jesus, even in the midst of persecution, and the number of believers grows. Why? Because something worth risking your life for is probably worth believing in. When we really grasp how great the good news of Jesus is, it's supposed to change everything. Our priorities, what we do with our finances, our hopes for the future. Our faith is not just a box we tick on when filling in a form. It's not just inherently ours due to the family we've been born into. It's not just a Sunday morning plan that we begrudgingly take part in. It's supposed to be the bedrock of our lives, our reason for breathing. Friends, a lot of people don't see the value in church or in God because they believe the message we give out. Half of the time, the way Christians talk about church doesn't make me want to be part of it either. There's no distinctiveness to it. It's like an optional add-on to our lives, an inconvenience sometimes, rather than the best news we have to share. I remember a number of years ago, a friend of mine said to me, he realised he is a better evangelist for Apple products and his football team than for Jesus. And only one of those three things had really transformed his life, given him reason to live, and had never disappointed him or ripped him off. Church, are we passionate, sold out believers for Jesus? Or are we lukewarm, only in it for what we can get, half-hearted in our praise, under the delusion that God should be grateful that we even turned up for an hour or two on a Sunday morning? Jesus gave everything for us. What's stopping us being all in for Jesus? Stephen laid down his life for his faith. Philip and Thomas and even Saul would go on to do the same. But it was worth it to them. Friends, where do we need a reality check today? Where do we need to reevaluate what really matters to us? Who are you sharing the good news of Jesus with? This week, who might we be bold enough to share our faith with? Who might be the one person, or the three people, or the five people, or the 10 people we might pray for opportunities to share about our faith with? Would you be daring enough to share perhaps this service? Would you be daring enough to put something up on social media about your faith and the hope that it gives you at this time? If Jesus really does change your life, then surely he is the one who can change the lives of those we care about and love the most. If Jesus really does bring you hope and comfort and joy and peace, why wouldn't we want to share that with those we love most? If you discovered the cure for cancer, you wouldn't keep it to yourselves. If you figured out how to end world hunger, you'd pass it on. If you figured out how to control coronavirus, you want to bet you'd be screaming it from the rooftops. As Christians, we carry the good news that changes everything. Hope for the hopeless, light to the darkness, purpose to the lost, life for those who are dead today and for all of eternity. Are you willing to lay down your life for your faith? Are you willing to share it with those around us? Or are we keeping the good news of Jesus to ourselves? Are you all in for Jesus? Or are you just playing at this faith thing? I don't know about you, but I'd rather be all in for Jesus and know fullness of life now than pretend and be on the sidelines watching on, but missing out on the fullness of God's promises to us today. Don't be so close and yet miss out the way the Pharisees did. They were face to face with truth, and yet they couldn't see Jesus for who he was in their presence. Jesus comes to transform our lives. Are you all in for him today, or are you missing out? Who will you share your faith with this week, that the church today might, like the church in Acts, grow? Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope and the peace that it promises us. But Lord, we also want to take up the challenge of your word to us today. Lord, when we study the book of Acts, we are amazed by the faith and the dedication of our early brothers and sisters. Lord, they couldn't stop talking about you, even though it cost them so much. Lord God, would you embolden us? Give us our courage, your courage, so that we can share of the difference you make to our lives. Lord, would we not be lukewarm, but would we be sold out for you, Lord Jesus? Lord, for those of us who need to be reminded of those words in John's Gospel, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Lord, would you speak into that this morning? Where we are anxious, give us your peace. Where we are fearful, where we have questions, where it just has been difficult this week, would we know your peace, Lord God? As Jesus encouraged the disciples to be bold in their prayers, Lord, would you bolden us to pray? Would we ask you for what we need this week? More of your peace, more of your hope, more of your presence, more of your comfort, more of your courage, more faith this morning, more opportunities to share it. Lord God, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are facing persecution today, for whom it is not safe to be a follower of you, but for who are willing to risk everything because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, would you protect our brothers and sisters today? Would you embolden them? Would they know, even as they meet in secret, isolated, for those in prison, for those who will be tortured today, for those who will even give of their lives rather than renounce their faith, embolden them. Surround them with your presence and your hope. Would they know that even now, here in Canning Town, we are praying for them? Unite us with them in your Spirit, Lord God. But Lord, would you also put on all of our hearts today, Lord, perhaps the name of one person or five people that we can be praying for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with. Lord, would you bolden us as we find new ways to share the good news of Jesus at these times. For you are hope for the hopeless, light into darkness, purpose into chaos, life into death. Stir us up and send us out, Lord God, that we might be bold in our sharing of our faith today, we pray. Amen.